change. It has been a while. Man, I'm telling you, it feels good to be back in the studio. My name is Preston. I'm joined by a dear friend of mine, and he will introduce himself immediately.
Hello there. My name is Grant, and I have been a part of True Blue for roughly 6 years, since around seventh grade. And I chose to do this just because I have two siblings that I kind of want them to be on the right track. So I have to set that. Someone has to set an example for them. So that, you know, that might as well be me.
Right. Yeah. So, you said you started this in seventh grade. Why did you start doing True Blue back in seventh grade?
Well, just again, because my siblings, and then I knew if I surrounded myself. See, my parents always taught me when I was little. They would always tell me, if you surround yourself with a good group of friends, then you'll pretty much stay on the same track that they do. And since I've kind of stayed with this True Blue group, it's kind of kept me on the right track and helped me stray away from maybe going to parties or going to these other things with people that I probably shouldn't be hanging out with.
Right.
So it's just kind of kept me on that good track mm-hmm. for life. So,
which I can relate to, because I know how important it is to set an example, because I've got a younger brother at home.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take a long time when you get into middle school and high school and you start to see all the parties that are going on and all the substances that are being used. And you really don't want your siblings to go down that same pathway, you know?
Once you go through high school, you're able to see it for yourself. So it's like, you know all those opportunities that they're going to have.
And yeah, absolutely.
You want to prevent it as much as possible.
So. Yeah, I mean, if they don't know, then they're not going to, you know not to do that.
Exactly.
But
yep,
it is super nice to finally get you in here. I know that this year has been crazy. We have not recorded this for a few weeks simply because of restrictions. We are distanced. It is just me and Grant today. And it feels great to be back. We tried to get Frisco in here, but we couldn't really get a hang of.
I think there was one more we tried to get in here too, but due to the COVID restrictions, we kind of want to keep it to a minimal amount of people.
Yeah, right. Because we don't want to put anybody at risk right now.
Right.
Like, the last thing we want to do is force people to get in here and compromise their health concerns, perhaps. Yeah. Yes. As cliche as that may sound, this is not why we're here. We're not here to take chances on us getting sick or anything, because it has been crazy, the amount of cases that have been going up around here.
Yeah, it's been going up as of lately, too. I know I talked to someone I have a friend in Tennessee that I talked to a little bit, and their cases are getting pretty high down there.
Dude.
So they're probably going to have to go back into shutdown.
Yeah, I know. That's the crazy thing, is that California already has a stay-at-home order.
Yeah.
And it's just, it is not looking good.
I know there were a lot of people not happy about that, but I mean, what can you do when COVID's
on
the loose?
Yeah, when you're flooding our hospitals with COVID patients and you've got so many on ventilators. I mean, crap, there's somebody that I knew that was on a ventilator for a couple weeks.
Gotcha. But I've been fortunate. I haven't had to deal with anybody in my family or any cousins or anything like that who have gotten it. So I've been relatively fortunate when it comes to this whole scenario.
Yeah.
Which we've tried to stay inside as much as possible. So that's helped with it.
Yeah. And I think the frustrating part is when you stay at home and you're doing the right things, and then there's people that you know that are like, COVID isn't real. This ain't a problem. This is just a government issue. Yep. And then they have all these parties and stuff. And
all these friends that you know having parties on the weekends, like, it just doesn't exist.
Yeah, I know. It's the most frustrating thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it does not make sense and explains why we're having so many cases and in turn so many deaths.
And I know recently there was actually an outbreak due to a party somewhere near us, so
that does not surprise me.
Yeah,
in all honesty, like, it's a wonder that more of those haven't happened.
Yeah,
but I mean, crap, it's starting to affect the sports on a national scale.
It is.
Just announced, I believe it was last night, that Duke has canceled all of their non-conference basketball games for the rest of the 2020-21-20 season.
That's crazy. And it's going to be a pretty big deal.
And yeah.
I think as much as people want to watch these sports and as much as I'm sure college athletes and professional athletes want to play them. I mean, safety first.
Oh, absolutely.
And you got to pay attention to your health. And, I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
So. Well, Coach K got a lot of heat simply because his team is 2-2, and a lot of people were like, he's just doing that because he's not having a good season. Yeah. And I beg to differ. Yeah. I mean, he is an older coach. They play in a small space where it's super easy to get it if somebody has it.
Yeah.
And see, I mean,
I think if your record is 2-2, I think you'd want to play more games.
Oh, well, absolutely.
Just to prove people wrong. Because, I mean, right now everybody's looking at them, oh, they're not a very good team, or
exactly.
No, they're going to have a bad season. I mean, I'd want to have quite a few more games so I could prove myself. And
well, I mean, absolutely. And especially for those brand new players. I mean, it's so important the first half of the year to get experience on your belt so you're ready to play conference ball.
Yeah.
And because of COVID, they're not going to get that opportunity.
Exactly. And with this whole COVID thing, since Duke's kind of shutting down their games, I doubt we'll see as many one and dones as we have in the past.
No, I refuse to believe you're going to see like players from North Carolina, Duke, and Kentucky just go off to the draft this year.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think they'll be pretty much forced to stay another year because, I mean, getting in 5 or 6 games potentially and then going to the NBA, I mean, that's a big jump going from pretty much just high school to the NBA.
And exactly. I mean, there's no way that you can go from playing high school ball 1 year and playing the NBA the next.
Right, unless you're LeBron.
Yeah, minus the LeBron factor. Yeah. But
or Kobe Bryant. I don't think he went to college either.
Oh, I don't think he did.
Yeah.
But, you know, those people only come around once in a generation.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't mean to knock on the stars of today, but that's just so unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. You'll get some crazy players every now and then, which I think Zion... Actually, coming from Duke, I think he might be one of the next ones up.
Yeah. So, wasn't he the cover of 2K this year?
I'm pretty sure he was, yes. And he was actually, sadly, he was injured a whole lot last year. So he didn't get that rookie debut that everybody was hoping for. But he's coming back fresh this year. Said he's going to be able to play in every single game, no minute restrictions. So
Right
now,
huge.
It's just up to the NBA to see how many games they're going to play.
Yeah, which... What are they going to allow them? Are they going to go back to a bubble, or are they going to play in their actual arenas?
Not quite sure, actually.
Because
I think they might go back to their arenas, but they'll of course have all the precautions. I'm not 100% sure on this, so don't take my word for it. But I'm sure they'll play in their arenas like normal. But I'm not sure if they'll allow fans. I know the NFL is allowing. It's pretty much stadium based, so.
Right.
I mean, the people in the stadium pretty much decide whether or not they want people actually in the stadium to watch the games. Like, some do 10%, some do no fans at all.
Mm-hmm.
Some have gone up to 40, 50%. So, I mean, you never know.
I mean, I think the important thing is that it kind of varies from region to region, kind of like the whole COVID deal.
Yeah.
I mean, especially for these big teams and at a local scale, you have to manage exactly how bad it is in your community.
Yep.
Because if you don't, then you run a higher liability risk than you would have if you would have monitored that, you know?
Yep. Yeah, you just have to be aware of the people, and especially in communities with older folks who like to go to the games. If you look at your, I don't know if stadiums keep up with this or not, but if you know that a lot of older people tend to come to your games at your stadium, you might not want to have games, or you might want to have restrictions when it comes to capacity, 6 feet apart, stuff like that, because, I mean, they're at risk, so you got to protect them.
Well, I mean, I think it was 2 years ago now. I went to Rupp for Kentucky's senior day, and let me tell you, Rupp, there's a bunch of old folks that go to Rupp. I don't mean to knock on Kentucky's fan base, but like there's one section of college kids like down on one of the end zones, and then the rest of it's just a bunch of old
folks,
people. Yeah. It's like it's so dull. Like whenever the games are closed, like there's just a modest golf clap.
Yep.
Like we can't go crazy.
Exactly.
And it's the weirdest thing, because you would think that one of the greatest basketball programs out there would have the craziest fans. But no, it's like you were watching Tiger Woods freaking sink one in the Masters.
Exactly.
Like, it makes no sense to me. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad that Kentucky's a good team, but I'm not very happy with our fan base, man.
Yeah, there's not many younger people
involved
in it. No!
No, it's just a bunch of old folks. I mean, I love. Listen, I'm not knocking on senior citizens because one day I'm going to be a senior citizen, hopefully. Yeah. But I find it so bizarre that one of the greatest teams out there is so modest.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because of the people that usually go to games, you really have to watch it.
You really do, yeah.
I mean, it almost, whenever I've watched college ball, it's almost like, it's almost like you're playing in a gym because, like, they've got all the lower seats put up.
Right.
And it's like we're playing a gym class almost.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it gets crazy with all the restrictions that are being put in place. And you never know, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be the one to say this, but I feel like you're not going to know who the real champions that should have been this year. Because, especially with football, both local and at the college level.
Yep, like we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're getting these games in, but are you really getting games in? Because you haven't been able to play games and get in that experience.
No.
And Lord knows how long. It's been a while. And I know for basketball, we've just, KHSAA has just allowed us to start back up our practice at our school facility. And our games are actually going to be scheduled for January. So we're able to start those games back up.
Right.
Relatively early and on time. And we're not losing that many games either. Typically, mm-hmm. we get around 30 games. And we're getting around 24 to 27 this year.
Oh, so gotcha.
It's going to be pretty nice to get those games in.
Yeah, that's good. I was afraid that you guys were going to take a big schedule cut.
Yeah, originally we were going to. They weren't going to extend the season. Mm-hmm. But then they realized, I mean, they got this vaccine, which that's a whole different story, whether you believe it works or not. But they got the vaccine kind of going out a little bit, which is expected to help. And it's just kind of relieved some of that pressure off of, I guess, officials when it comes to games. So they're kind of more flexible on letting you play and stuff. So,
and, you know, I don't mean to knock on anyone, but refs are usually older folks.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to compromise anybody that's going to be in and around the sport that you're playing.
Yep.
Like, especially right now. Because, mm-hmm. I want to say the county that I lived in had triple-digit new cases this week.
Really?
Last thing I saw, that's been very hard to watch, but you have to take every precaution at this mm-hmm. point.
Yeah,
because like I said, the second you don't, the second something bad is going to happen, and mm-hmm. you really don't want that to happen.
And if you look at, I can't think of what they're called, where old people stay when they get older. Retirement homes?
Yeah,
I can think of it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at retirement homes, I mean, you're seeing these younger workers go in, and they have COVID, and they're asymptomatic, and they don't really think much about it because, hey, you're not sick, so you don't really have to worry about it much. But they end up going in there, and it spreads to all these older patients, and it's just, it's inflating the numbers. But, I mean, it's not like you can just ignore those numbers because old people go back home, and I mean, they might see their grandchildren someday and pass it along to them. And then, mm-hmm. I mean, you never know. It's so unpredictable. But that's why we got to take as many cautions as possible.
Yeah, especially with people that are in retirement homes because they are more prone to be immunely compromised or something like that?
Something like that.
Like, I mean, their immune systems are not as good as what ours would be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I think the scary thing is that with COVID, it's not like you know it's going to be bad or you know it's going to be mild. It could honestly be, you could be asymptomatic or you could be put on the ventilator in 3 days.
Exactly.
And that's what terrifies me the most is that if you do test positive, you have no idea what the next 2 weeks are going to look like.
Right. Yeah, you could spend, like you were saying, you could spend your next week in a hospital pretty much fighting for your life, or you could be sitting at home watching TV, just
and wouldn't feel a thing.
In your bed and you'd be perfectly fine. So you never know.
That's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like vaccines are definitely going to help. Yep. I don't care what I'm not going to get into politics, but I don't care where you fall. A vaccine is needed.
Yeah.
And a vaccine will eventually get here. I mean, they've started vaccinating people in the UK, so that's been
right.
pretty cool to watch.
Yep. I know I've been looking up a few things about the new vaccine because, I mean, I've been pretty curious about it. Obviously, I'll probably be one of the last people to get it because
yeah.
I'm a young teenager and I've been in really good health. So you kind of got to let those older folks get in there and get the vaccine before younger people do because, I mean, they're the ones that are more at
yeah,
risk.
They're the ones that need it the most.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like you got to take care of the ones that are prone to it first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to take care of the first responders.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that are going to, they're facing it every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think our first line workers get the credit that they deserve.
Right.
So I think the next item of business is what our lives look like moving forward. Because Christmas is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. I think it's, 2 weeks away now?
Yeah, I think so.
And
close to that.
It's somewhere around 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I know that our semester for college starts back around first week of January.
Yeah.
And apparently we're not going to be in person until February.
No, we're not. We're actually, they sent out an email the other day that we're going to be virtual until around February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be crazy. I'm not sure I like this virtual learning. You're paying thousands of dollars to get an education online.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to be very frustrated if our instructors don't have any kind of meetings.
Yeah.
Because honestly, especially the first month, you're trying to figure out like what a class looks like and whether I should move into another class
exactly.
or drop the class altogether. And if your instructors don't do, in my mind, what they're supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
then you have no idea what you're getting into when you go
right.
back there in February.
Yep. I mean, you can do all this online stuff for a month or so, which is what we're going to end up having to do. And honestly, online stuff, in my opinion, is a whole lot easier than in-person stuff.
Right.
But what that means is I end up learning more from the in-person stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like once we do all this online and then go back, it's going to be completely different. We're not going to be used to like the instructor or how they grade, because grading's a different online and in person
yeah.
too. You're able to give feedback and stuff like that different
yeah.
ways, and you're able to kind of work with each kid in person,
mm-hmm.
and you're just not really able to get that with online.
So. Yeah. And I'll be honest, you know, one of my instructors posted like the lecture for every day. I was completely fine with that.
Yeah.
Because you're still learning directly from that
right.
instructor. I just don't want our instructors to just go, "Hey guys, welcome to class, ... never hear anything from
right.
for a month."
Because yep.
that's what happened with one of my instructors when all this broke out. And it really did bother me because, A, I felt like I wasn't making relationship with my instructor.
Yep.
And B, it felt like they honestly just didn't really care.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to knock on our instructors, but at the same time, you build relationships with your students over the course of a semester.
Yep.
And I feel like what separates the good from the great is the relationships they do establish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
if you have a good relationship with them, I mean, it makes learning a whole lot better.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. If there's an instructor that you absolutely despise, you're going to despise
exactly.
that class.
You're going to walk in there and you're just going to want it to be over. You're not going to listen. You're not going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to be one of those classes where, I mean, you don't really care for it.
Yeah.
You don't get anything out of it. So.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the frustrating part, is that especially you could put all the effort in the world and try all you could, and your instructor just would not care.
Right.
But
yep.
thankfully, we haven't really had a lot of those. I know there have been some incidents that I've heard, but thankfully that's not like a widespread thing.
Right, right. I think schools are good about, or colleges are good about communicating to their professors, "Hey, we're going online. Make sure to keep open communication with your students."
Yeah. 'Cause
I know I've only had one teacher that was not very, they didn't communicate very well,
yeah.
but we made it through the semester, so
right
can't really complain too much. So
yeah, I mean, it's I can understand, like, I think we had the same instructor. If it's the instructor that I'm not gonna throw shade at any of our instructors, but I had the same instructor a semester before he did, and it was not a very fun time.
Yeah.
It was online. I never heard from her, and she never posted any grades.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I guess you could say that it's the student's responsibility when it's an online class to take care of their work.
Right.
That you can't rely on the unknown and establishing like what you think's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because usually the exact opposite will happen.
What you think's going to happen does not end up happening.
Trust me. If I were to put money on 2020, I would have been living in a cardboard box on like day five.
Yeah. I don't think anybody expected 2020 to be the way it has.
No. And like, My irrational fear is that when New Year's comes around, instead of like January 1st, it's like month 13, 2020. Like the clock will not run over.
Ends. Yeah. Just stops
like,
completely.
Yeah, it's just like the month count just keeps going.
2020 lasts forever.
Month 30, month 55. Hopefully that does not happen. Yeah. But
let's hope not. Back in January, I think it was, what started all? I think it was
when we got into trouble with Iran.
Yeah.
And like I remember from January 3rd on, we thought we were going to war.
Yeah.
Because there were a bunch of memes about it. Yeah. And like I had a mental breakdown at one point. I sat down and I looked through the U.S. Army documents of everything that would keep me exempt from
getting drafted.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
just looking for excuses not to get drafted.
Exactly. Like, I'm overweight. My feet are flat. You don't want me. Unless you put me in an Iron Man suit, it's not going to go well. But I'm telling you, from Australia burning to potentially going to war to
the whole COVID situation.
Yeah, with COVID.
And there's been quite a few other things. I can't really think of them right now.
I mean, dude, you could write a textbook on what happened this year alone.
I've seen a bunch of memes about it, too. It's like kids in our future generations looking back in our textbook are going to have a whole textbook just for 2020. And instead of just having a little chapter.
Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, wait, how did this stuff have to happen in 1 year?
Yeah.
And because I'm going to be, hopefully, a history teacher one day, I'm going to sit down and be like, listen, sonny, I lived through that nightmare. Let me tell you what it was like living in quarantine.
Yeah, we're going to have some stories to tell when we get older, so quite a few of them.
That is the one benefit from all of this, is that you get to say that you lived through
exactly. Well, hopefully. Hopefully.
Oh!
Hopefully. Still not over yet, but hopefully.
That's a good point. We gotta get there first.
Yeah, we gotta get to the end first.
Yeah.
But it'll be nice if when we hopefully do make it through it.
Yeah, man, I don't think that 2021 will be an immediate fix. Because, COVID will still be around in 2021. It's not going to disappear.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be gone. I think it's going to be kind of like the flu. It's gonna come around.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then, and it's gonna come in waves, but obviously with this vaccine, I think we'll pretty much be able to prevent it.
Yeah, so it does calm the nerve.
Yeah, and I think I was looking up statistics about it the other day. I meant to mention this earlier. What they're trying to do with the vaccine is reach herd immunity. So in order to do that, we have to reach roughly 70%. So it's just over 2/3 have to take the vaccine.
Right.
And with the vaccine, you take it the first day and then 28 days later, you take it again. And then after that, you're pretty much immune.
Right.
So they're looking at trying to get 70% of the population to do that. So we reach that herd immunity and, we don't have to worry about it as much as we did before.
Right. So. But my question is, how many people are anti-vax in the United States?
Because
if it's more, listen, I'm telling you, we're going to have to change the minds, hearts, and souls if it's more than a third of the country.
Yeah. But, and I know there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to be happy with being forced to take a vaccine.
My gosh, dude, I've already heard like the conspiracy that there's a computer chip in the virus, so like they can track you.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Find it so bizarre that even in the midst of a crisis, that people still are like, they're so skeptical. It's like, it boggles my mind how skeptical things could be.
Yep.
But
they're skeptics for just about everything nowadays. So.
But, Grant, it has been an absolute blast finally getting you in here.
Yes, it has.
I know that I missed being in here and talking with other people, especially face to face.
Yep.
I'm so glad that we could get in here and stay safe.
Yeah.
That's priority number one right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know who else, I don't know who will be in here next, but I can guarantee you that it will be a wonderful cast of characters that you will love probably more than just the two of us.
Yep.
Like, hopefully we can get more people in here moving forward. Yeah, and
it'd be nice to get more people in here.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because I know that life is crazy right now, and right now it's definitely a start to get both of us in here. So I want to thank you all for listening to this episode of Chatter for Change. We will see you all in the next episode.